I read a good article this week on one of the blog sites that I go to, and generally speaking, it was an article about things that keep Christians out of church, and it was very interesting and very instructional and very enlightening, and it ministered to me. All right, Mark chapter 6, if you will. On Sunday nights, we're going through the Gospel of Mark, and we're in a section that in chapter 6, verse 7 through 13, I call Faithful Kingdom Ministry. And the Lord has reached a turning point in his ministry, and before he had done it all, he had did all the healing, all the teaching, all the miracles, and now he was authorizing his 12 apostles to go out and to do the same. Now, we're not apostles, but we looked at, beginning last week, some principles that we can learn about how to be faithful ministers in the kingdom in which we live in these last days. So some broader principles that apply to ministers as well. And we are ministers, whether we understand that concept or not. So we've been looking at this question, beginning last week, what are the marks of faithful kingdom ministry? Now, last week we looked at faithful ministers proclaim the gospel in verse 7. Secondly, faithful ministers show compassion, chapter 6, verse 7. And tonight we're going to pick up with the third and fourth, and we'll look at the fifth and sixth after homecoming the next week. So in honor of God's word, I'm going to ask you to stand in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Verse 6, and he called unto him the 12. The 12 in the Bible now always refers to the original 12 apostles, okay? And began to send them forth by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. In those days, they wore two coats, but he's telling them here, two tunics, if you will, to only wear one. Verse 10, and he said unto them, in what place soever you enter into that house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall receive you, nor hear you, shall not receive you, nor hear you. When you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. And verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, many demons, and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Father, I pray tonight as we look at the next two principles on faithful kingdom ministry that you speak to our hearts. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Faithful ministers depend on God. Verses 8 and 9. As you go through this life, you're not going to be much in the kingdom of God if you don't depend on God, right? If you try to serve him in your flesh and try to do it on your own apart from the Spirit, it's not going to work out too well. Faithful ministers depend on God. We see that in verses 8 and 9. Tells them basically to go out, don't take anything with them. They were to take a staff. Now, possibly a walking stick, rocky terrain that they were in for protection against robbers and wild animals. But they were to take what they already had on their backs. They were not to pack suitcases. Man, I'm amazed at when we go on trips today, how we pack, right? God blessed us with big trunks in the back of our car. Because, you know, we pack like we're, well... I don't want to go any further because I might offend someone, but we ought to run light. We ought to pack light. Take what you have. Take your staff, your clothes on your back, and your sandals on your feet. Why? Because they were to be ready to go and ready to leave. They were to live light on this temporary ministry that he gave them. And they were to leave at a minute's notice and be ready to do that. They were to depend on God to provide their needs. And that's why he told them these things, because he wanted to teach them dependence upon him. He would provide for them. He would show his faithfulness, and they would see how he provided for them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says, wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither all shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he was not, some people say, well, he's calling them to a life of poverty. And no, that's not the case at all here. He's not calling them to a life of poverty, but poverty, because later on he explains what he gives them here in this text in Luke chapter 22, verse 35. He explains later in the upper room why they were to go this way. In Luke 22, verse 35, and he said unto them, when I sent you out without purse, scrip, and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that have a purse, let him take it, and likewise a scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. In other words, Jesus issued the first open carry permit right here, you know. And he said, buy one. And for I say unto you that that is written must be accomplished in me, as he reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So Jesus here is telling them, and he's basically telling them to make plans and make preparations for the future, because it was going to get rough. But we ultimately depend upon the Lord to provide. This is the lesson that Jesus wanted to teach them. He didn't want them to go out and be poor. He was teaching them to depend upon him. Now I want to ask you three questions. If God were to call you to be a foreign missionary or a pastor, how much stuff would you be willing to depart with, and how long would it take you to liquidate it? How much stuff would you be willing to depart with, and how long would it take you to liquidate that so you could go out and do his kingdom work? And then question number two, if God called you to meet the need of a family member or a friend, would you be willing to do it, and would you be willing to depart with that prized possession that you have? And you know what that prized possession is. Would you be willing to sell it to help a need of a family member or a friend? Amen. I mean, you know, to us, the church has missed the point. We think this is crazy. We think this is foreign. Sell what we have to help people? No, that's not crazy at all, is it? Amen. You know, that's just what they did, right? Early church, Acts chapter 2. Would we be willing to depart with our possessions? And then number three, do you travel light in this world? Do you travel light in this world? Do you love your possessions and this world more than you love Jesus? Right? It's amazing. Those are soul-searching questions. So faithful ministers proclaim the gospel. They show compassion. They depend on God. And then in verse 10, faithful ministers are content. This is the biggest problem I know of with Christians. And me included. Are you content in whatever station in life, in whatever circumstance you are in life, are you content where God has placed you? Look in verse 10, if you will, chapter 6. And he said unto them, in what place soever you enter into the house, there abide till you depart from that place. One Bible teacher says here that they might have been tempted to think because they were apostles, they were ready for an upgrade. You know, this place is not good enough for me. These people are not providing for my needs. I need to move on. I deserve better. You know, we're familiar with the word upgrade. You know, we have phones, cell phones, those that have smartphones. You know, you become ready for an upgrade, you know, and things like that. But they might have been tempted to do that. That's why Jesus told them to go out and take nothing. Say, well, we're apostles. We deserve better than this. And so they were to go, stay in the people's homes. In those days, they traveled in the homes of people because the inns, I understand, and doing a historical background, were very dangerous places. And he told them to stay in individual homes till they leave town. And again, they thought maybe there's a possibility they needed an upgrade. This place is not good enough for them. Maybe they wanted to stay in a $3,000 a night motel like Benny Hinn. You know, this is not good enough for us. They were not to move from house to house, is what he's saying here, receiving money from everybody. Okay? And drain those people. Now I'm going to go over here and drain these people. And they were not prophets for hire here. They were to stay in one place and be content having their needs met by that particular family at that location. You know, I could not have survived in those days if doing that, because if they served me cottage cheese, I'd starve to death, you know. I wouldn't be able to eat it. But this is what happened to them, and they were to be different from the false teachers. Remember I told you about, this was years ago, early in our ministry here, or maybe a fourth of a way, as your pastor, I booked these missionaries like 6 months, 8 months in advance, you know. And we had this one that was supposed to come to church here, and it was about a week before he was supposed to come. He called me and says that, I can't believe he told me this. He says, I have an opportunity to go to a bigger church, you know, bigger offering. And I said, don't worry about me rebooking you or postponing you to a later date. I done found out all I need to know about you and your heart, right? And so he hung up at that. See, he wouldn't have not made it here, what Jesus was talking about, being content wherever you go. This is what separates us from false teachers here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip in your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. God depends on his people to take care of his ministers, right? That's the concept. We have preachers that go in churches and they meet with the pulpit committee and they say, you know, we want to call you as a pastor. You know, sometimes they say, what's it going to take? Sometimes they ask and say, I need a certain minute. You know, I'm sorry, if a pastor or a singer tells you what they need to come, then you don't need to call them, right? And I've had that in the past, too, with singers. They say, I remember when I was in Adel and I was in charge of getting a singing group for the, that was back when I didn't know any better, and I was in a ministerial association, and we tried to get this group called New Song, and they wanted $3,000 up front. Guess what? We didn't get New Song, right? They didn't come, you know. Where is it where God's people depend on God to take care of them? And I know the fear is, well, the people that I'm singing to are not walking with God and not going to give. I understand that, right? But that's not the concept we need to have. They were not to put a price on their ministry, okay? They were not to exploit people for personal gain. And it's all over TV. So this is a lesson for them. It's a lesson for us. Depend on God and be content in your circumstances. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. We often quote it here at the church. And I even had when I was preaching on some of the most misunderstood passages in the Bible, this was one of them. Because we often use it for something it doesn't say. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, and 13. I'll wait till you get there, okay? Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, but for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It has to do with the circumstances. It's nothing about passing a test. It's nothing about lifting a 500 weight and winning some kind of competition. It has nothing to do with athletic imagery here. It has nothing to do with getting that job. It has everything to do with whatever circumstance you're in, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're down or whether you're out, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, what have we learned tonight? And next week we'll look, or 2 weeks we'll look at the last two. What have we learned so far? If we're going to be faithful in this kingdom ministry in these last days, number one, the main priority is the one thing we've been left here for is to proclaim the gospel, right? Yeah. Number two, show compassion. And number three, depend on God. And number four, be content. Be content. and ready to go. Yeah, that's it, you know. If God was to call you somewhere else or call you to do something, would you be able to do it? Y'all do know that when missionaries get the call to go, home missionaries or foreign missionaries, they sell everything they got because they're ready to go, right? They give up everything. They give up their family. Of course, their family doesn't understand them, right? And they go wherever God leads them and depend upon churches as they come in on deputation, raise money to send them out where they need to go, right? And that's the way it works, okay? No invitation tonight. We're glad that you came. I know it was, everything was abbreviated, but we're going to close it out tonight. And I got good news for you, okay? I talked to Brother Marcus during the fellowship time, and me and him can't work it out. We're going to go back to the old way of our fellowship time, okay? Because we are creatures of habit, right? You don't want to mess with a Baptist and get them out of the way here, because they can't adapt and they can't adopt. I mean, they'll just go crazy, right? So starting next week, we're going to rearrange our order of service like it was, okay? We tried to expand, but we just can't handle it yet, okay? All right, so we'll do that next Sunday. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed.